WGN. It is On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. And wow, what a beautiful day. We have so many days out here that look pretty good from up here. Of course, the vantage point from the 18th floor is always great. But today, and I have never seen it from this height where I've gotten to look down. Of course, I've seen all the pictures, and it's a big deal, not only here, but of course worldwide. When it comes to St. Patrick's Day, the greening of the river in our new studios, we are just right next to the river. You get a chance to check it out. It is, it's stunning, right? It's awe-inspiring. It's so big. And I would have thought the pictures that were taken were kind of, you know, because you could do a lot with your filters and everything to make things look cooler. Man, it looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, I love how when you first walked into the studio, you were like, I'm going to go take a picture. And you walked up to the window and you were like, oh,
wow.
So shocked. You're like, wait a minute. I don't think I've ever actually seen it in person, in the flesh.
Yeah, it's kind of like where people used to say when they got a chance to see Angelina Jolie in person, it was like, whoa, it's like she's really, yeah, it looks, I mean, right, stunning in person. So, okay, so this is great. We're going to have some pictures up at WGNradio.com. We'll take some as well. That's exciting stuff. And it is St. Patrick's Day, 312-981-7200. If you've got something that you know, you love, you share, you eat, corned beef, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and some cocktails. It is one of those celebratory holidays where people get out there. And Esther, my wife, had mentioned when I was talking about it and getting ready for the segment we do with Bill and Wendy about food. She's like, well, it's kind of like a drinking holiday. And it is, right? People embrace that side of it, certainly the food side and the celebration side. So much is happening. And here, it's kind of, Ashley, I want your thoughts on this as well. Does it make any difference? And it shouldn't. Whether it's a St. Patrick's Day observed, like let's say that falls in the middle of the week, or because this one, it's actually, these parades are happening right in this weekend. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, so it's all happening right in real time.
I think it's way more exciting when it's happening in real time, when you don't have to like wait, because then it's like
celebrating, like, you know, New Year's Eve,
like, oh,
but it's really,
yeah,
like the
exactly.
day before,
yeah.
3 days before.
So I think there's always some magic to it when it's like in real time, like today's Saturday, tomorrow St. Patrick's Day, you can celebrate tonight, eat your food tomorrow, do that kind of stuff. It's like a whole big weekend over here.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're excited. Okay, so we've got a great show on tap when it comes to great food. We talked about, you know, the corned beef and some of the accoutrements on the food side for the holiday. I got to mention this, got a chance to bring it up with Bill and Wendy. I could not be more excited about this. The inaugural BBQ Smokedown going to happen race weekend at Chicagoland Speedway. So you have all the things you know and love about a race weekend, about a NASCAR weekend that happens here at our home track. And then you build in the fact that it's the kickoff for the NBC portion. So you've got Rutledge Wood, you've got Dale Earnhardt Jr., you've got all of those great personalities from the NBC side that are also big foods, you know, enthusiasts, right? So Rutledge is even more than that. He's got a show on the Cooking Channel. But Dale Jr. is an aspiring pitmaster as well. And so you bring in some of the biggest names, if not the biggest names in barbecue, certainly in that team photo, especially when it comes to the Hall of Fame. You got Myron Mixon, the winningest man and barbecue star of Barbecue Pitmasters, New York Times best-selling author. You've got our local, he's our favorite. He is our local kind of loud and proud resident of the Hall of Fame on the Chicago side is Ray Lampier, Dr. Barbecue, and his restaurant, Dr. Barbecue's down there in St. Petersburg, is absolutely killing it. And he is an acclaimed author and a personality and a TV guy, and great to have him here. And then you got Chris Lilly. You know, he's consistently winning world championships. He's a member of the Hall of Fame. He's an author as well, and one of those huge stars in the barbecue world. So they're going to be there, as well as a KCBS competition. So you've got, you know, the biggest teams, and really what is, I would say, if you're going to, the Major League Baseball, the NFL, when it comes to barbecue and food, KCBS, so excited to have them supporting the competition side of it. And we're going to have, stuff is up at Chicagoland Speedway right now, so you can get some information. I can certainly get tickets. There's going to be ticket packages that are going to match up with some of our stars. There is a ton of different things happening, whether it's the competition side for the teams, but also some fun competitions. There's going to be a burger challenge, you know, for fans, you know, listeners, fans of both racing and food can get in there and do that and enter to win some really cool prizes. We're going to have things announced and available on site next week for that stuff. So you're going to have to stay tuned. But if you're interested in that, let's say you make you've got a great burger recipe and you want to make it live at the track and really compete for one of these things with great judges, celebrity judges. We're going to have some local notables and sports heroes and stuff. You can go ahead and email and get in on that right away as far as at least some interest. And I'll get back to you because I know it's going to be tight as far as people trying to get into you. BBQ Smokedown, all one word, at gmail.com. BBQ Smokedown, all one word, at gmail.com, if you want to get in on it in whatever capacity. We've had a lot of interest so far. So, Ashley, I know that you are, if nothing else, a competitive person. You will arm wrestle. You've arm wrestled me a bunch of times about things that I thought were insignificant. When it comes to like a burger challenge, would you do that?
I would do it, but I would definitely fail. I am not the best.
Nothing like that can-do spirit.
Yeah, I'm not the best cook out there. I like to think I am, but I add slightly too much pepper. Like, that's my spice of choice.
Okay.
Notice how I said spice for pepper. Not the best.
Okay. Well, see, if you know.
But it sounds fun. I would definitely do it and just have a laugh and have fun and try to see if I can get somewhere.
And then your friends, people who care and support you, will hide the pepper on you. So, especially, you won't be able to do that. So, we're also going to have a bacon category. Seth from Bacon Fest is going to help with that. Maybe a wing category as well. So, stay tuned on all of those things. The BBQ smoke down at Chicagoland Speedway, end of June. More details coming up for this show. We are going to have so many great things. Coming up right after the break, we're going to have Richard Ray Rawlings. You know him from Fast and Loud on the Discovery Channel and Garage Rehab and so much work that he's done with the veterans. And so we're going to talk with him a little bit about the show, about the TV side, some of the things that he's doing. So that's coming up. Kurt Busch is going to join us as well. You know him. He's got local Chicago ties, and he's going to talk about things he's doing with the veterans as well. So there's a little bit of a theme there. Later on in the show, Tyler Florence, you know him as a great TV chef, but also a filmmaker. He hit the road and brought his film Uncrushable here. We'll talk with him. We've got a ton coming up, plus Jillian Murphy from Tullamore Dew is going to make some St. Patrick's cocktails. And so stay tuned for that. Got a lot of fun, more than I can even fit into this segment. So keep it here. When we come back, Richard Ray Rawlings, it's On the Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, this is Richard Rawlings from Gas Monkey Garage, and you're On the Road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago, and great to have one of the great personalities of automotive TV and lifestyle making fast and fun television, both on the commercial side and as star of the hit shows Fast and Loud and Garage Rehab on the Discovery Channel. Honored to have Gas Monkey Garage's very own Richard Rawlings. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning.
Well, it's great to have you on. You mentioned on the commercial sides, and some of our favorite commercials of all times were those Dodge commercials that you did, whether it was Challenger versus Charger, you know, with the ipso facto and Dodge Law, sort of the buddy cop thing with the stuffed monkey. And it showed your funny side, like your comedic side. Is that something that you've always thought was great to build into the things that you do, is kind of the funny side of Richard Rawlings?
Yeah, I've got kind of a funny bone, if you will. And, you know, it was exciting to get to do something that was a little bit off the beaten path with Dodge, you know, and just have a little bit of fun. I mean, they're fast, they're loud, and I had a little bit of fun, and off we go.
Yeah, there is no doubt. And I know that things like that brings what it is that you do, your personality and some of the other projects, to a wider audience. In addition, you know, we cover a lot of the food stuff as well as the automotive and motorsport side. Is, you know, you've got a lot of great things that you're great at. I didn't know, like, judging cakes was one of them, but excited. It's very cool to have you on that. That's going to be one of the biggest shows that Food Network has done in a long time. You're going to be on Buddy versus Dove as a celebrity judge.
Well, I tell you, a lot of people don't know about me is that I love to cook, and you know, I'm always in the kitchen. You know, even though I've got a chain of restaurants and things like that, I like to go home and barbecue and cook, bake, and what have you. It you know, gets me out of the garage. So I was really excited when they asked me to do that, judge the first one of the Buddy versus Duff, and it's pretty freaking cool.
Well, here's the thing. People come down, it's kind of polarizing. It's kind of like you go way back into the day, sort of like the Sugar Ray Leonard versus Roberto Duran. I just talked to Duff. I mentioned like the Pacquiao Mayweather, and he said, well, then they're both, you know, way past their prime. So this is not that. Did you have somebody you were pulling for going in, or did you just try to, as a judge, be completely objective?
I was trying to just be completely objective and, you know, let it happen. They both went way out of their element, so to speak, you know, making these cakes and our cars. And it was all centered around my 50th birthday, which is just here in a couple of weeks. So it was kind of a birthday cake from each of them, which is pretty daggum cool. And we got out there and took a look at the technical difficulty of each one, along with the taste and the style and what they were adding in there.
It's going to be coming up on the Food Network. When it comes to cars and what it is that you guys do on Fast and Loud, you're finding some of these great classic cars, you're rehabbing them, you're flipping them, right? So it's sort of connected in some ways on the concept side to those HGTV type shows that everybody loves, where you get in there and do that. I wanted to ask, you know, because there are so many of these cars that are great muscle cars. We got World of Wheels coming into Chicago. this weekend where they're being highlighted is as time goes on. I know our family, you know, we've got a 70 Hemi Cuda, and I think there's like 11 of them that match, you know, the same features and things that are built in. Are we running out of cars like that as more people kind of rehab them and as time goes on and less of them are available? Is there going to be a time where there'll be a shortage of cool cars like that?
You know, I don't believe so, because they're always churning in what I call project mode. So, you know, they're always out there. They're always available. Now, finding these rare, rare barn finds, that might be getting a little bit tougher. But it sometimes just goes from one barn to another, and then you find it 5 years later, 10 years later. Sometimes, you know, it just gets slightly transformed, and then somebody else has got to get it. So it's not like these cars are going away. Once they're rescued and not scrapped, they kind of live on another life, which I think is the coolest part of it.
Well, having your hand on the pulse of so much of it, there's some that are just going to be classics, you know, all the time, your Mustangs, Chevelles, you know, the Camaros, the GTOs, and all those kind of things. But do you see kind of like, I don't know if it's like fashion or maybe sometimes food, right, where there's different trends that come along where now you're seeing cars that were always liked and appreciated but come to sort of the forefront, whether it's like the 56 Nomad that you did for Dale Jr. or the Broncos, right, which are just hugely popular. They're kind of like, I don't want to say fads, but kind of trends where certain cars become more popular.
Well, what's really cool about the technology and the internet today is that these segments that you may or may not have known about are growing in more popularity. So that's where you're seeing the spikes in Broncos or the spikes in the Jeep or the spikes in maybe Mustang 2s from the middle of the 70s. You know, before they were very small cliques, and, you know, it's hard to find a group that maybe was into what you were into. But now with the old interwebs, you know, the proliferation of everybody talking about it is actually protecting the cars from getting scrapped. And people are finding more and more people that are interested in the same weirdness that they are. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that fact, because a long time ago there might have been, you know, you might have thought there were only X number of people that like the kind of car you like, and now you can just get on the net and find everybody in the world that likes it.
Now, do you find, as you're doing it, and of course, well, let the listener know, we're talking with Rich Rawlings from Fast and Loud Garage Rehab from the Discovery Channel, that sometimes, you know, you have a car that you highlight that you think is great. Like you said, you know, a lot of people may not be aware of that, but that maybe it gets more popularity, and a lot of your show is based on kind of the value of things and flipping them. Having them kind of star on your show and having that great audience, do you ever see it kind of change the market value of some of those things, where maybe they were a little less available or even less valuable, and then boom, they're on the show and it goes up?
Most definitely. Gas Monkey kind of cut its teeth originally on Model A's, and I'm pretty sure I'm responsible for moving the market on that, because we've bought and sold probably 700 of them. And you know, I remember when I used to be able to get them for 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 bucks, and now they're 8 and 10 and 12, you know. So having someone do something like what we do here at Gas Monkey on television, showing what you can do with this car and this much money, you know, I think is helping teach the guys at home that maybe do something else for a living that this is some fun they can have on the weekend.
Talk about some of the celebrity side that you bring into it. Certainly the cars are celebrities in and of themselves, but on the racing side too, like, how cool is that? And there is kind of a connection to, you know, like Ace of Cakes, you know, where they'd make a cake for Oprah or something like that. And you're making cars for some of the biggest stars and stars in motorsports. What is that like? You know, when you get to do that and unveil that and have them, maybe someone that you've appreciated what they do, they obviously appreciate what you do, and you bring it all together.
Oh, it's super cool to work with the different celebrities and people that we've had been fortunate enough to work with. You know, it's different, because I don't go out there and tell Junior how to race, and he doesn't tell me how to build what he's asking me for. So we both respect each other's boundaries, and everybody ends up happy at the end.
I got a chance to check out a little bit of the Joe Rogan interview that you did, which was absolutely awesome. And it was kind of cool, like, your entry into it. A lot of people have an appreciation for cars, but then their career path takes them down. What listeners may not know, you know, you started out as a first responder, right? A fireman, a police officer, and those kind of things. And then you kind of got into the car world. And you looked at the television side of it. And I think that's one of the things that is really cool about you, is that you come to it not only as an accomplished person on the car side, but I think really a true entertainer, whether it's the humor side or a lot of the stuff that you bring to the table. And you mentioned that you thought some of the programming that was out there, as popular as it was, had maybe more potential if it could appeal to families, right? If it could appeal to ladies and kids and all those kind of things. And talk a little bit about trying to build some of that into the things you do.
You know, that we're family first here. I mean, my ideology of working in the garage and hanging out, whether it's with the guys in the back or, you know, some of my family actually works here. When I was a kid, you know, my dad was in a different profession, and you know, but on Saturdays and Sundays, the guys in the neighborhood and my dad were working on whatever, and whoever's driveway, and the kids were running around, and mom was barbecuing in the backyard or whatever, you know. So to me, that's what I thought was missing, and I wanted to bring that element in. You know, just bring the family part of it in and have a little bit more fun and get the kids and the moms watching. And I think that we executed it very well, and I'm real proud of where Gas Monkey stands as a family brand.
Yeah, oh my gosh, we love it. And just the way that it's shot is really cool, too. And obviously the backstory, you got to build a little bit of the drama in there. And, of course, you've got to dispense a little bit of tough love when it comes to some of the projects and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to, like, on the car side, you know, one of the greatest or most, I don't want to say greatest, right, but at least one of the most well-known businessmen of all time had the immortal words, don't get high on your own supply. Do you ever have, on the collection side, because you see this as a businessman, you're flipping these things, you're auctioning them, do you have cars that where you know it's valuable, you should sell it, but maybe you keep it for yourself? And what do you have in your collection?
Really, everything here belongs to the shop or me or however you want to look at it. We usually keep 40 or 50 cars at a time. And everybody always asks, you know, oh gosh, are these all your cars? And I'm like, no, I'm in the car business. They really are all inventory, and they're all for sale. I've probably got three or four cars that I'll never sell. I've got the original 52 Chevy Fleetline that we chopped. It was our first car we built as a company. I've got the 1930 Model A Ford that we built as the first car on television. And then I've got a 68 Chevy GT 500 convertible that we built about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And then I have my first Ferrari. So. Right now, that's the collection that I won't ever sell, but, you know, don't ever say never, because money talks.
That's right. That's the mantra. Well, when you say first Ferrari, it implies that there are other Ferraris that are built in there as well. But you mentioned, you know, kind of the background, not necessarily coming up through the car world in general. And we've asked everybody from movie stars, rock stars, you know, a lot of race car drivers as well. What was your first car? Was it something cool, or is it something that you wanted to redeem yourself for? What was it?
No, it was horrible. It was a 1974 Mercury Comet with you know, that ugly 70s green with the ugly 70s green interior with green carpet and green dash. It was green. Okay. I mean, every bit of it. So, and had hubcaps. So it wasn't exactly cool, but I guarantee you this, it was the cleanest, nicest one in the world.
Oh, that's awesome. So coming up, talk a little bit about what people are going to see when they tune in.
Well, you know, the last episode of this run, of this season of Garage Rehab, and it is the second episode of American Warrior Garage, which is a garage that was started by two veterans in their spare time to help returning disabled veterans to learn a new skill set and put them back out into the world with a skill set that they can use on a daily basis. So what they do is they offered up out of their own pocket their whole shop and what have you. When we got there, I saw the business idea that went off in my head, and I'm like, my goodness, you know, these guys are doing this just to help the veterans learn a new skill set, and it could be so much better, and it could also be very replicable across the United States. So it was a really cool thing to be a part of, and, you know, we love our vets and our military, and to be able to offer a really killer service like that and give these guys and gals and get them acclimated back into the workforce here after coming back home, I'm just thrilled to be a part of it, and I'm hoping that we can get this thing growing like crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that as well, and people want to follow all of your adventures, and you mentioned the food side, too. Before we let you go, talk a little bit about the restauranting side of things. What was the point of that? Was it like, hey, you know, I've got to eat, I might as well do this, or was it kind of like the TV thing where you're just like, hey, there's some more fun, you know, things that you can do or spins you can put on the restauranting side?
Well, it really was a combination of the business plan as I wrote it, and then it was also just the story I told you a few minutes ago. You know, mom or someone was in the backyard cooking burgers and people were playing with the cars and the motorcycles. So to me, you know, Gas Monkey Bar and Grill and Gas Monkey Live are extensions of the car world. I mean, they're, you know, bring your cars, bring your motorcycles, hang out, have a burger and a beer. And we've got a lot of those coming online here in the next 24 months. I'm really excited about that. It's a growing brand. And we've got the energy drink now in 30-something thousand locations nationwide. We got the tequila out worldwide. So we got a lot of tentacles on the old Gas Monkey, but we're having fun, and we're doing things that go along with the lifestyle and what we like here at the shop.
I always say that, you know, you've made it when there's a Richard Rawlings action figure out there in the Gas Monkey Garage playset, you know, for the kids. Because you said it, you know, a family thing.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any Richard Rawlings action figures out there yet. There might be some voodoo dolls from my competition has, but We'll have to work on the action figure part.
We love what you do in all those different kind of incarnations and ways that you do it. Before we let you go, give the website where people could keep up with all your adventures and social media.
Oh, GasMonkeyGarage.com and GasMonkeyGarage on Twitters and Instagrams and Facebooks and what have you. We're easy to find, and we're highly active on there. So there's always something new, pretty much every couple of hours.
Well, giving the people what they want, Richard. Thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for all of those things. Again, we'll have the links up at WGNRadio.com. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Awesome, thank you.
Hey, this is Tyler Florence, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
All the leaves are brown.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here. Actually, we're at Logan Theater, and we are here with a guy who's been on the road. He travels the country for all the great shows for Food Network and food trucks and so many different things. And of course, you know, as an ambassador for great food and great products and restaurants and the culinary scene. And here he is in Chicago, the one and only Tyler Florence, restaurateur, author. Now we add, you know, of course, cornerstone of the Food Network and so much of that programming. Now adding filmmaker in a big way here with Uncrushable. Tyler, welcome to WGN.
First of all, it is a pleasure to sit and talk to you anywhere, because you and I bump into each other sometimes in like the craziest like film festivals or food festivals now and around the country. And I got to tell you, these are always my favorite interviews. I love talking to you, man. I really, really do.
Well, the listeners love hearing you and hearing you in a bunch of different ways. And I think this is a way for you to kind of showcase what it is you do, what it is you can do that is outside of the way people typically enjoy you. And I know the stuff that you do, you know, with Wolf It Down on the videos, and of course everybody knows the food television side. When it came to making a film, obviously this is something near, dear, close in so many different ways, but what was that thought process where like, hey, you know, I want to document this, let's make a movie? That's tough.
It was a very interesting muscle to flex when we started filming Uncrushable, because I don't think we realized what we were filming until we were probably halfway finished with it, until we realized we had enough content for a feature-length documentary film. To me, it was just a moment that we just wanted to capture this, because that's always my gut instinct. I always travel with cameras. I'm usually filming every day. I live my life attached to a microphone more days than I don't, right? Because I'm just on television all the time. At my own production company, we're always shooting stuff with Food Network. So it's my instinct just to pull a camera out, kind of like set up a frame and just hit record and start shooting something that's in front of me all the time. So when the fires broke out on October 8th, 2017, it was Columbus Day weekend. My family was still at the beach. We had rented a beach house in Marin County. There's this amazing little beach called Stinson we always vacation at. And it's right across the hill. It's a super easy little getaway. But I had come home early because I had a flight to Seattle the next day. I had an event to go to. But as I was driving back across the hill, where we live now in Corte Madera, which is just across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County, we're just like just on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. And the skies were starting to fill with smoke in a way that just felt dangerous, like something was happening. But no one really knew the scope of it yet. The community didn't know the scope of it. The folks that were up in Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino, they knew loud and clear what was happening. And what was happening was one of the largest wildfires in the state of California. And it was just utterly terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. 44 people died, almost 300,000 acres burned. 9,000 buildings, structures were burned to the ground, and it all happened in about 48 hours. That level of destruction, right? So it's on the equivalency of like of an earthquake. Like everyone in California knows that we're susceptible to wildfires, and we always have been. It's like it happens and it's happened before, and it'll happen again. But nobody really knows when and where. So one of the firefighters had shown me a map of a fire that broke out in 1966. It had almost the same footprint as the Tubbs fire that took over parts of Sonoma and Santa Rosa. But that was 1966. And so we have wildfires that kind of break out every year, but they're really, really small, and then they get handled pretty quickly. Cal Fire and, you know, our storm jumpers, like, they kind of take care of that pretty quickly. But this is an order of magnitude that no one knows how to deal with. And that's the scary thing about the climate crisis that we're kind of going through right now. The air and the ground, it's so incredibly brittle. It gets so hot in Northern California now. And these are just weather conditions that's happening all over the world. Like London hits almost 100 degrees, like unprecedented temperatures that are starting to like really kind of change the environment. So now that we have this extended season that's literally turning into what we call fire season now, right? And so the way that the East Coast and the Gulf Coast will have a hurricane season, we have a fire season. And after 2017, and so we filmed the story, interviewed everyone, and I don't want to give too much of the movie away, so really, yeah. I can't wait for you to see it. I cannot wait, because you and I have been talking about it for a long time, right? I cannot wait to share this movie with you, specifically you, because I think you'll really love it, right? That when we finished the movie, we were hoping that this would be the fire of the generation, like the big Chicago fire, right. like the something that your grandparents talked about. When we were screening the movie in Napa for the Napa Film Festival on October 9th, 2018, a year and a day later, the fire in Butte County broke out and destroyed the town of Paradise in 9 hours. And 200 people died. So this level of destruction is, you know, we're really nervous about this new season that's kind of coming up. That how do we deal with climate change, and are we prepared to live in a world where nature can just consume a big portion of the land and kill and displace a lot of people with a brush of a hand in hours? How do you deal with situations like that?
Well, I think having a movie like this is a conversation starter in a bunch of different ways and for great platforms. And the listeners will know that you do a lot of this stuff. I mean, you're always really passionate about issues, whether it is, you know, food in schools and things like that. And you get in and you try to share what's wrong with it and some of the things that we can do. I think it really makes you feel real powerless. We think in this day and age a lot of times that the things that we have set in place as far as first responders or techniques or technology or best practices, right, can kind of save us. And you look at just what can be done and what can be lost. The special thing about this movie, and I think that process, is even with the wildfires, and you see all that devastation, it's on the news all the time, you know, a lot of natural disasters and hurricanes and things like that, they're personal stories, and we all feel bad. And we all kind of, we empathize, and we sit there and put ourselves in that situation. When you can kind of tell the story of an industry that touches so much, that is in a place where, you know, when it's affected, the world is affected in a lot of different ways. I think it sheds a different, I think it puts it in a different context and allows you to say, like, this, it isn't just, you know, an individual story about a family losing what it is that they have or even their lives, and that's horrible. But this kind of puts it in a different category, and you're able to kind of share things that maybe everybody can relate to. People think it's a million miles away, but on the wine side and on the food side, everyone's there.
Everyone's there. And so a lot of people ask me, you know, about the 2017 vintage. Is it going to be okay? Was it ruined? And thank God, most of the wine and most of the grapes had already been harvested. So the wine was in process of fermentation, right? So it was protected in stainless steel casks and tanks and that kind of thing. So it's fine, right? I'm sure some wine critic somewhere along the line is going to be able to determine that, you know, the 2017 cab has a smoky tinge to it. You know, someone's going to say something about that. But for the most part, it was really devastating for the community. But then now that, you know, I'm on tour with the movie, so we're going to the St. Louis Obispo Film Festival after this, and then Sonoma International Film Festival, right? That returning home with the film. I feel like in a lot of ways, I'm just an ambassador for the state of California, right? Like we'd love to have you, would love to come out. If you want a great vacation, please drink California juice if you want to do something locally, right? And so it's just, it's one of our national treasures as Americans, right? Like it's one of the parts of the country we're most proud of, right? I mean, we like California, Napa, Sonoma, it means the same thing to everybody in the world, and we're super proud of it, not only on a national level, but especially in California. And these were our neighbors that were impacted in a lot of ways. And it's not just about us and our own silo. Like, we care for everybody, like we're the hurricane victims in Houston, Texas, and Panhandle of Florida and North Carolina, and the tornado victims last week in Alabama. And there were tornadoes in the winter. It's weird, man. Like, we're in a weird weather pattern now that we really have to start paying attention to. And a lot of climate scientists will tell us that we're not going to realize that we're in the middle of a climate crisis until we just are. And you're not going to realize it. So, like, the climate. So there's a couple of things that I try to leave people with at the end of the movie, right? Two things, right? Have a conversation with somebody this week about the environment and the climate crisis that we're in. Just have a conversation, right? Because I think that's the most important thing. Like, what are we doing about it? How do you feel about it? And so people just become more aware, and we're talking about it, right? Because we have to do something. We have to act fast. And I really hope that it is a critical part of the 2020 election cycle that people are voting for the environment. They're voting for how we want to live in the future and protecting our children and the climate, right? And the other thing I think is another important message to walk out of the film with is just to do something kind to someone else, because I think the movie inspires humanity, inspires me. I've seen the movie 200 times, and I get so teared up every single time because the guys of the community pulled together, and it was about a community that got devastated and then a community that came together to fix it. And it's a really, really gorgeous story about the real model, right? The real model that it takes to solve a lot of problems that we have with education and with homelessness and fire prevention and nutrition. And you can go on and on and on. But together as a community, we can really rise and answer a lot of the social ills that we're faced with today and solve them with dignity and solve them with grace and solve them together.
So much greater than the sum of the parts, Tyler, what you do as far as, of course, an entertainer on the food side, but so big in a bunch of different ways. What the listeners may not know is that you're part of the Face of California campaign. So you're there sharing in an official capacity a lot of those great things that happen. It's interesting to see the double-edged sword of it, right? Where you have to also share a little bit of the downside of it. When you're here for Cooper's Hawk, and one of the things I think even here, making wine more approachable, making the wine world more approachable, even making troubles and challenges in the wine world more approachable, like here with Cooper's Hawk, that's kind of what they do too. So talk a little bit about, last thing is, you know, kind of getting together with them for this event.
Cooper's Hawk is a really incredible company. I met the CEO and their executive chef and their whole management team at the Aspen Food and Wine Classic, I think about 3 years ago. And so we've collaborated on a few different wines in the past, and it's always just been a blast to kind of get together with them and blend some fabulous wine and to be able to go out and then, you know, throw fantastic parties and really kind of celebrate that, because there's something very special about the community that they built. And it's about the restaurants, which I think the food is fantastic, but it's also about their love of wine and their team and the communities that they're kind of pulling together. They go on fantastic trips, they tour wine regions around the world, and they throw really fun events, very similar to what we're doing right now. And that's what I love about that. So I just applaud Cooper's Hawk for hosting us tonight. And so this is an exclusive Cooper's Hawk Wine Club event. Yep. So you have to be a member to come. And it's just an amazing group to be associated with. So it's been fantastic. But I got to tell you, more than all of that, it's great to see you again. Dude. I got to tell you, I get a chance to talk to everybody, but dude, every time, because like you and I text each other, we DM each other all the time, like, and you know, I love talking to you. I think you're great. You love your beat. You love chefs. You love food. You love culture. You love cars. You love everything. And it's kind of cool to get back together with you, man.
So well, it's cool to be here with you as well. They throw a lot of great events, and the ones that you're involved with are some of the best. So thanks for coming in. Thanks for doing that, sharing the movie Uncrushable, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Always, man. Thanks so much.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, a NASCAR analyst on Fox, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to
Detroit. All right, 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And a couple themes for the show: California and veterans. Richard Ray Rollins talking a little bit about Warrior Garage, talking about supporting the veterans. And California, all of the NASCAR drivers are out in Fontana for at Auto Club Speedway this weekend. And we got a chance to talk with Kurt Busch about his KB100 initiative, where he supports veterans. Here's Kurt.
With my ticket giveaway to our military, that was something I've been thinking about doing for years. And the best way that I could get support in making it simple clean and easy for our troops and for the racetracks was to get ISC involved from the corporate side and to get SMI, all of Bruton's tracks, involved. And then we still need to circle around with Dover, Indianapolis, and Pocono, but those are towards the summer months. And I wanted to make it simple. And vettix.org, that program that puts veteran tickets together, it's for, you know, the NBA, for Major League Baseball, for football, any sporting program that veterans want to go to, they go to vettix.org first and see what tickets are available. And I'm very happy that I've got the chance to put 100 tickets out there, every race, for 100 military, family, veterans, whomever, to be able to come to our races and enjoy it. I feel like it's a small way to say thank you because the sacrifices that all those men and women have made, even the families that are at home when their service member is gone, it's tough on the families and everybody involved. And each time I visit the military bases, the hospitals, they inspire me. I'm moved by them. And so this is a way for me to say thank you. It's the KB 100 ticket giveaway. Every race, 100 tickets. It's all theirs. And I hope that I'll have the chance to meet some of them as the year progresses.
All right, 720 WGN, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago on what is St. Patrick's Day weekend here in Chicago. The view out of here, I've already done a little bit of Instagramming, is absolutely amazing. It is stunning. And this day, this weekend, has all the accoutrements that you want for a celebration of Irish fun, festivities, and culture. And in studio with us, we are super honored to have, she's the East Region Ambassador for the amazing and historic Tullamore Dhu, the one and only Gillian Murphy. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here. I'm excited. I'm looking over at your gorgeous Green River here. It's beautiful.
This is like getting Tom Brady on Super Bowl weekend, right? This is it?
The compliment. Thank you. It is the prime time. This is definitely our busiest time of the year. We are back to back with events, as you can imagine. St. Patrick's Day, everyone wants to drink Irish whiskey.
You want to be able to celebrate authentically, right? You want to be able to get out there. Everyone wants to celebrate, and just putting a couple drops of green food coloring in your beer just doesn't cut it when it comes to Tullamore Dhu. So talk about some of the cocktails.
Well, I agree with you there. So if you can't tell, I'm from Ireland. Originally, I haven't been practicing this accent. It is authentic. So back home in Ireland, we don't drink green beer. We drink Irish whiskey. That's how you truly celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So Tullamore Dhu is the whiskey that I work for.
And before we get to the cocktails, yeah. I am remiss. Let's talk a little bit about, because there are a lot of things when you go into the store, your favorite places where you get stuff in order to celebrate and imbibe, a lot of choices. Talk a little bit about the history of Tullamore Dhu.
There's a lot of choice, and there are many, many fantastic Irish whiskies out there. I mean, I'm biased, so my favorite is Tullamore Dhu, but there's good choices. So Tullamore Dhu, I'll give you a fun fact. Tullamore is actually a town. It's bang smack in the middle of Ireland. So that's where the name comes from.
And bang smack means smack dab, if I translated, right?
It's right, like, okay, yeah. I didn't even know there. We had a language disconnect there. But yes, yeah, smack dab in the middle of Ireland. And the dew is not the moisture on the grass in the morning. It's the initials of a man, Daniel Edmund Williams.
Wow.
So yeah, he was instrumental to the founding of our distillery back in 1829. So we've got a long history there. Yeah.
So making people happy for a long time since 1829. When it comes to celebrating, and you mentioned right there, smack dab, bang smack, however you're going to say smack. It right there in Ireland. I'm sure it's a national country celebration. Everyone's excited. Mm-hmm. When it comes to across America, we like to think that we embrace and celebrate kind of our Irish heritage and support for St. Patrick's Day better than other places. You've seen them all. Where does Chicago rank?
Oh, Chicago is definitely up there. I mean, I live here in Chicago, so I'm very prone to supporting Chicago. But I must say, I think it's one of the best cities I've ever been in for St. Patrick's Day. I mean, the fact that you guys dye the river, everybody is out and about drinking, enjoying themselves, you know, and celebrating the parade. It's definitely top notch.
So everyone is celebrating, and we talked about it a little bit. You want to celebrate authentically with Tullamore Dew, with Jillian, with all of that. So you're going to give some suggestions, kind of steer people in the right direction for what to do. Not only today, because this is just like St. Patrick's Eve, right? You're saying, how can it get more Irish than this? I'm like, tomorrow is going to be even bigger. So what can they make?
So, well, Tullamore Dew is very, very versatile. I personally drink it neat or on the rocks, but it works fantastically well in the cocktail too. So I've got some ingredients here in studio. I know the people at home won't be able to see what I'm doing, but I'll be able to explain.
You can at WGNradio.com. You can look. We've got a video stream.
Oh, hello. Anyone that's looking, I'm waving.
Yep, and of course it'll be posted as well.
Well, then we'll do some cocktail making then. So one of my favorite cocktails to make is an old fashioned. But anybody who has any bit of skill in whiskey or in cocktail making will know that an old fashioned takes a bit of work because you've got to muddle up sugar cubes with bitters. But I have the perfect solution for you. So Drambuie is a herbal Scotch liqueur. So this, if you use Drambuie, you won't need to use any sugar. So I put about an ounce of Drambuie into my glass. In you go. Now that's taken away any need for muddling, any of the hard work. And I'm also going to put in about an ounce of Tullamore Dew, the Irish whiskey itself. So in that goes. Give that a bit of a stir. Put in some ice and a few dashes of bitters. So bitters is a very fancy term that nobody really knows what it is, but it basically makes drinks taste very, very good. And your friends will be very impressed if you have this in your house. So I suggest buying some. I'm going to give this a little whirl. And then that's our first drink. That simple.
We're going to have that posted at WGNradio.com a little bit later on today. So people will be able to take that advice and use it towards something amazing for later on tonight and tomorrow. So
can I offer you a dram?
Yeah. Sure. Well, during the commercial break.
Well, we'll leave it here for you and you can definitely reach over.
I appreciate that, Jillian.
But that is an easy 2-ingredient drink.
Okay, and so that's
very simple.
That's one of them, and it's for those people that kind of are along the same school as you as far as liking it kind of neater on the rocks, a little bit kind of stronger, right, where you can taste all of the flavors of the expression.
Exactly. And it's very spirit forward, as we say. It's definitely the whiskey comes out to meet you strong. When you drink it. It's strong, yeah. But it's tasty. It's also got that little bit of sweet, so it's not too overpowering.
It's something you can work towards, everybody. So get on it. So, and then the next selection that you've got, what's the other one?
So the next one is, I'm loving this one at the moment. Like, this is my March favorite drink. It's called the Gold Rush. So this one, a little bit more fancy, you know, if you want to impress your friends at home, this is the one that you're definitely going to want to do.
Who doesn't want to impress their friends?
I agree. I definitely do. I'm all about showing off. So what you're going to need is a cocktail shaker. Okay. So you're going to want to fill this shaker full of ice. So I'm filling it up here now, if you can hear that.
I can hear it.
Hear the ice. Right, okay, I've got my shaker. Now I'm going to put in 1 ounce of Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey straight into the shaker. I'm going to take about 1 ounce of honey syrup, which is just honey and water mixed together. So equal parts honey and water, mix it together. You're not going to want to use hot water because it'll get really sticky and ruin all of your saucepans.
Oh, gotcha.
I've made that mistake before. In we go. And then we're going to put some lemon juice in there. So I've got
you can hear all of it. You're being extra clinky out there.
Oh, am I? It's not even on purpose.
No, that's great. So we can kind of we can imagine along. It's theater of the mind. Letting the listeners know we're talking with Jillian Murphy. She is the regional for the East Region brand ambassador for the amazing Tullamore Dew, and she's helping us to celebrate authentically when it comes to this weekend and St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely. So are you ready for a shake? My cocktail shaker is now filled. I've got my Tullamore Dew in there, my honey syrup, and my lemon juice.
Is there any kind of technique, you know, that you need to...
So the most important thing when you're shaking a cocktail is you want to get the ice from the top of the shaker back down to the bottom. So sometimes you see people meagerly shaking. They're not moving the ice. So you're not agitating the liquid. We really want it to fuse together. We want to get it chilled. So we need to move the ice from top to bottom. And it's all about your shake face.
Okay.
I'm a big... Yeah, I mean, you can imagine... There we go. Can you hear the shake?
To describe, the shake looks good. And the face, she looks like it's a festive, but certainly a determined face.
There we go. So you're going to want to do it for between 5 and 10 seconds. You want your shaker to be cold. So you want condensation on the outside. You want to be uncomfortable holding it, basically. All right. I'm going to fill my glass up with ice right here. And then I'm going to strain in some delicious Gold Rush cocktail. So
it looks good.
Here we go. So yeah, this is definitely more of a, I guess, sessionable drink. You can have a few of these.
You can have those in quantity, as many people will today and again tomorrow.
And again tomorrow, yep. So I've just garnished that up with a little bit of lemon, just for a bit of color, a bit of zest. And there we go. You've got your Gold Rush.
It looks good. And people have the rest of tonight to practice. And then, of course, all day tomorrow to kind of make as many of those as they can that their friends and family may require. And we'll have links up at WGNRadio.com for that as well. And as we let you go on the busiest day, like, where, if you want to share some of the things, some of the cool things Tullamore and Gillian Murphy are doing the rest of this weekend.
Well, absolutely. So in Chicago, actually, and in three other cities across the U.S., in Boston, L.A., New York, we're doing Irish Bar Takeovers. So we're taking over three bars in each of those cities, and they're becoming Irish for the day, because we believe that everybody can be Irish on St. Patrick's Day. I mean, there's a lot of people who claim they are, and I think it's a day for everyone. Let's celebrate. Being Irish, I think, obviously is where you're born, but I think it's more of a feeling. It's like a, you know, it's the social occasion, the enjoyment.
It's like a vibe. It's a state of mind.
It's a state of mind. So we're giving everyone the opportunity to be Irish this St. Patrick's Day. So if you're around and about in Chicago, we're going to be taking over El Jefe. It's going to become O.L. Jefe.
Nice.
Taking over Bub City, which is an Americana.
Guys.
Yeah. Barbecue place. So that's becoming Irish for the day. It's going to be O-Bub City.
O-Bub City.
And we're also at Big Bar at the Hyatt Regency, which is right next to us here. And they're becoming O-Big Bar. So yeah, if you want to be really, truly, authentically Irish this weekend, definitely get yourselves down there.
Some great options, some great selections. Not only the great the cocktails that you've got, but some really cool food spots as well. So give the website out for social media, and people can get more information.
Yeah.
And then before we let you go, give your social media so people can keep up with your
adventures. Absolutely, let's do that. So if you guys want to keep up to date with Tullamore Dew, it's tullamoredew.com, and the Instagram is tullamoredewus, and you'll see all of the happenings. We're all kind of live streaming, feeding in there over the weekend. And then my personal Instagram is Tales of Gillian.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a bit of a quirky one. And then, as I mentioned, we are doing the takeovers, so the bars are becoming O-O-O. But we're also doing last name takeovers. So if you want to look at the back of my shirt, quickly, I'll show you.
Well, Murphy's kind of an Irish name already, but you're old Murphy.
But I'm now old Murphy.
So you doubled down on Irish.
So yeah, it didn't work out well for my friend O'Sullivan. He's now O'Sullivan.
O'Sullivan.
I mean, yeah. But if you want to get your own shirt for the weekend, or I mean, I think these are truly year-round, annual, you can do that at oeveryone.com.
You can show it with the cocktails and also with your attire as well. And, of course, all weekend long here in Chicago. So, Gillian, we'll send you off into the wind to help people celebrate and guide them towards the ultimate St. Patrick's Day. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Great fun.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, $20 chef Sean Latham is going to be with us. So stay tuned on The Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
Hi, how's it going? This is Sean Latham, the $20 Chef, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
WGN high atop Chicago in the Allstate Skyline studio, and on the line with us a guy who's absolutely killing it in the conversation game, whether he is the host of the Sean Latham Show with YP and JB, that is Sirius XM Channel 85 Monday through Fridays. He is on there. We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com, and of course Barstool Sports, and he is host of a show that is running wild with a million views every single month. $20 Chef, the one and only Sean Latham. Sean, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on your show.
Oh, no, it's great to have you on. And I think what you do is you kind of showcase the way that conversation can take so many shapes, so many forms. There's no topics that are off limit. You obviously have things that you're passionate about, whether it's people or whether it's food or whether it's just some of the current events of the day. But also, too, is it like you just, you know, unabashedly share, you know, kind of your thoughts and what you're thinking in the moment. So it is great to have you on.
Yeah, man, that's what I love about doing this cooking show and my radio show. My bosses, they just tell me to do whatever I want. Like, hey, you know, it's your brand, it works for you. You know, the cooking stuff, it's more obviously comedic than it is, you know, the cooking part. At the beginning, it was all about just being funny while I cook. And then as it kept going and I enjoyed cooking more and more, you know, it's kind of leveled off to where it's also about the cooking as well. You know, like what we're making, you know, if it's easy, if it's a date idea, you know, what the whole process is behind each episode.
You're there, and you've got this everyman quality that I think is very approachable, right? Even though you've had some really great, notable chefs on, you come at it with kind of a thing that everybody can kind of understand and appreciate. One of the things that I think is really cool is you talk about, certainly in restaurants and in, you know, on date night and in your house, you know, whether it's like 4th of July in the backyard, that kind of thing, food is front and center, but also some of these great events, whether it's the Daytona 500, which you were at, or whether it's like the Super Bowl situation, you take some of the biggest sporting events that we have that everybody watches, and you really highlight the food side of them.
Yeah, that's the really good part is about mixing this whole comedy and food thing together is, you know, just being able to be a live event. You know, I did my first live cooking show in Daytona, which was awesome. You know, the Super Bowl, I still, no matter where you're at, people are eating somehow. So it always perfectly ties in together, you know. I've always been like a kind of a crowd work guy, like a man on the street type thing. So it just all kind of comes together and it flows nice.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to do.
Oh, it is. And that's, I think, the thing that comes through is that everybody really appreciates that you're having a good time. You appreciate what it is that you do and you appreciate the guests that you're there with. But you're right. It's a thing that kind of transcends all those different areas. You could be a rock star. You still love food. Whether you're a chef, of course, you love food. An athlete, you love food. I got a chance to see you checking out, getting a chance during the Super Bowl, talk to Merrill Hodge, who's a guy that, you know, was a great player on the Steelers and, of course, played a little bit here in Chicago, too. And even though, you know, he doesn't necessarily come from a food space, you were able to talk to him about food.
Yeah, you know what I did was, that was actually one of my favorite episodes because that was the first one, like, I had a guest on. You know, that, like, this year we started doing more guests. And, you know, obviously I'm a pretty fan of Merrill Hodge just from either football and also just in being a commentator with, you know, with ESPN for so many years. And I actually reached out to his son, who's all, you know, he's another athletic stud. And I was just like, you know, what did your dad cook for you guys that you loved growing up? So he gave me a couple ideas that his dad made him. And Merrill really loved that. So we had a good time. We made a really good meal. And, you know, it's just kind of mind-bending from being a fan forever. You know, just a fan of these guys. And suddenly I'm cooking with them. And it's just, personally, it almost doesn't make sense. I mean, I roll with the punches. But that's what makes it even twice as fun for me personally. Because I'm cooking with people that I've been watching for years. You know, I'm just another fan of the sports. And, you know, of lifestyle television like everybody else. So to be cooking with these guys, it feels really good.
Well, you think about sometimes you may have even more of a cooking. Everybody's got an opinion. They got things that they like, things that they eat, and all that kind of stuff. But in some cases, like, you may have even more of a perspective than others. When you get with a guy who I've interviewed many times over the last, like, decade, is Andrew Zimmern, is one of the biggest stars in the food business. Plus, he's also one of, like, the coolest guys to talk to. He's got a great perspective. He's got so many stories. He's been around the world. Talk a little bit about sitting down, bringing what it is that you do into the kitchen with Andrew Zimmern.
Well, technically, I mean, on paper, I bring zero the same that he brings. You know, he's a master. You know, he's got, you know, what I love most about these guys is that before they even ever touched a television set of any sort, they already had 2 decades plus in the game. So, to me personally, it's more of like a Karate Kid Mr. Miyagi thing, you know, because I just am so flattered to be working with them and to do episodes with them. But what I'm enjoying is, now that I've cooked with a handful of these guys, is all the small, cool little tips that they give. And they have these, like, really magical, but just the smallest little things. They'll give you great tips on, you know, like Duff Golden gave me the thing when the cookies come out, you know, how to make it harden like a taco shell, and then you put ice cream in it, and next thing you know, you're giving your lady a homemade ice cream taco made out of cookie shell, and, you know, you got chocolate syrup on top. That's not something most dudes are pulling off, and it's super easy, but we didn't know because we didn't, you know, I've never had a superstar, you know, ace of cakes, you know, to tell me, and now he did. So that's my favorite part, is just picking up all the new little things that they just share while we, you know, have our 1 hour filming session.
Oh, that's almost indefensible. Duff is a longtime, really good friend, and he's going to be actually on the show as well. So it'll be great. And Andrew Zimmern.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Andrew is one of the best. One of the things that he's always been doing, even before he had a show, was living his brand. And that's what you do, too. So I think that's one of the reasons why it resonates so much with fans and viewers, is because you're you doing you. And a lot of people, I think, can relate to that. Here's one thing I wanted to ask you, because you know, you have, like, the athletes and the food people, but also the rock and roll people and the musicians. And it's surprising. They have a really cool perspective on food because they travel so much and they're always kind of looking to eat on the run or try to find places in cities. What was one of the fun things that you did with somebody that's, like, in the music business where they had their thoughts on the food side?
You know, I had, like, Joey McIntyre was on a few weeks ago, and I liked him. He was they have their certain dish, right? So, you know, they always eat out. They're constantly on the road and eating out. So it's fun to watch their passion when it comes, because we discussed before they meet, you know, during the emails while we're booking, is there something you want to cook? Like, what would you like to cook, you know? Just started doing guests this year, so I haven't had too many musicians, but the guys that I have had, they, you know, I like the way that they're passionate about the one dish they like and how open they are because it's so new, like, to them. So he's not a full chef or anything, but, you know, he was wide open and he was just, you know, like I was teaching him things, which is also, that's the opposite spectrum of the mind bend, is that I'm teaching Joey McIntyre something, you know? And he's way on board. You know, he wasn't like he didn't care or anything like that. He was way into it. We were having a great conversation. The filming was great. You know, he's asking me questions. I'm telling him stuff. He's telling me stuff. You know, it just feels really special personally. Wait. You know, because this show just started with me in my low-budget kitchen from a Snapchat show. It was just an idea. And then suddenly I'm hanging out with these guys in New York a year and a half later, and it's pretty wild.
Wow, you go from the, you know, Mr. Miyagi situation, or maybe like where you're the grasshopper, right? But now you're dispensing some of that information, those pearls of wisdom. You're paying it forward on the food side. And, you know, one of the things I think is really cool is just your excitement about it, too. So you think about this as you're kind of looking forward, and now, you know, with the downloads, with the popularity of the show, you know that you can get a lot of people on there. Who do you have? Is there anybody out there in kind of the universe, as we put it out there, that you think would be a great guest for people to enjoy, for the fans to enjoy, but also for you to hang out with? Is there anybody kind of on your radar?
Yeah, actually, tomorrow I'm feeling real good because I have Adam Richman coming on, Man vs. Food.
Oh, he's awesome.
So we film tomorrow. That will come out in the next couple of weeks. You know, and one of my favorite movies, I like, you know, I obviously love comedies. I have the guys from Super Troopers coming on. That's going to be nice. And, you know, which I love that movie so much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you tell me I'm going to cook with Farva and Mac, I'm feeling really good about myself, you know?
Oh, let's let the listeners know we're talking with Sean Latham. He is the rock star host of $20 Chef, a show that is absolutely killing. Of course, you can hear him on Sirius XM Channel 85 with his show, The Sean Latham Show with YP and JB. And that's Monday through Friday. And we'll have links up there at WGNradio.com. And Sean, as we let you go, is there anything that, you know, people can do to follow your adventures? You got a lot of things going on. Anything cool in the hopper we should know about, and ways people can follow you on social media and keep up with your adventures?
Yes, you can always go to YouTube and search $20 Chef. You can catch any of my episodes. We've done over 100. Also, I'll be at West Nyack Comedy Club. And then I got Phoenix coming up April 11th through the 14th at Tempe Improv and Stand Up Live.
All right, Sean Latham, get out there and see him. You can see him, of course, anywhere you go, on your mobile device, on your computer, YouTube. Of course, here I'm Sirius XM, and you can see him on social media as well. And thanks so much for what you're doing. We all appreciate it. We're excited to have you on. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys. Let's set this party
off right. Hi, this is Greg Galanzo from Speakeasy Customs and Classics, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Put 720 WGN, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and we can see pretty far out the windows, especially when it's a clear day, but we can't see all the way across the pond, the Atlantic Ocean. We can't see all the way to Switzerland, but this guy can see everything in Switzerland. He's provided something for all those people there in Geneva to see themselves. It is the one and only Greg Alonso. You know him from Speakeasy Customs right here in Chicago. Now he is on the road, far away, with so many great cars and so many great car fans. Greg, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane. Thanks for having me again.
Wow. Well, thanks for being on. Thanks for taking time. I know that we've got a time zone issue. I know that you are a featured attraction at one of the biggest, actually, I think it's the biggest and most prestigious car show in the world, in this on the entire planet. So it's great to have you take a little bit of time out. And you're there, but you're not alone, right? So you've got the guys from Claremont Cars. You've got them here, and you've got them. Of course, they brought that along with. And you've got a special guest, which is an amazing, I think, member, right, of the Alonzo and the Speakeasy family at this point, right? get the Golden Sahara.
I would
too.
Say so. I would say so, yes.
So talk a little bit about bringing it over there. I know that it has been a labor of love in a lot of different ways to bring this beloved car. One of the George Bear said that it was one of the most significant cars that he had had, and this is a guy that is in that team photo of great and amazing car and custom car creators, right? Created some of the most iconic cars, whether it's the Batman, the car from the Munster, so many other amazing things that he's done. And the Golden Sahara 2 is right up there, and you brought it literally, right, back to life.
Yes, I did, with me and my team. We spent about just over 3 months restoring the car, like you said, at Speakeasy Customs. And we brought it here with Claremont Collections and the help of Goodyear Tires, and it is on display here at the Geneva Auto Show.
You know, all the makes and models, you know, some of the most prestigious brands in the automotive world are there, but you're seeing a lot of, and this is an extended car show, you're seeing a lot of the feedback, not only from what it is that you're doing and how people there are just excited to see this in person, but also it's got a lot of attention from some of our, you know, media outlets and the car thing publication side here in America. It's Auto Week, New York Times, and I'm sure a bunch of places out there.
Oh, yeah. I've seen articles in pretty much every language. If you search, if you do a Google search for Golden Sahara Geneva and you click on a news tab, there's articles in pretty much every language and every different country that have picked up on this car being here.
And you think about what it is and kind of what it means to the world to be able to share it with the world. What is some of the feedback that you've gotten from, you know, we know what George Barris means here. We know what the car and how important it is here in America. But what is some of the feedback from people around the world in other places?
They're absolutely fascinated with it. Most of the people here, the custom car world is not as big here in Europe as it is in America. So having this car here is really blowing people's minds. I see people from down the aisle make eye contact with it and just beeline right to it and start asking, what is this? Where does this come from? Who built this? And, you know, the interest is amazing. You know, we're there for sometimes 8 to 10 hours a day at the show, and people are constant. It's a constant flow of people coming by and looking at it. We have, I would say probably at any given time, there's 20 to 30 people taking pictures and asking questions and trying to find out as much as they can about it. We even had somebody come over that was representing an F1 driver, Formula One driver, and asked us if we would sell it to him. And, yeah, it was kind of funny. I had explained to them, no, it belongs to a museum. It's part of their collection. They're not going to want to part with it. And then they asked me, well, what's the value on it? And I said, well, they value it at approximately $750,000. And she says, so it is for sale. I no, it's not for sale. Unfortunately, that's just the value.
Oh, come on, man. Okay, so here's this. You know, for those Formula One drivers, the listeners know. I mean, sometimes, oftentimes, maybe their watch costs more than that. So this is...
Yeah.
So it's a bargain, and Richard Ray Rawlings from Gas Monkey Garage, who's on the show, he said a thing that money talks, right? So I think,
man, oh, yeah.
So you absolutely never know. But here's the thing. So it's making waves and groundbreaking right there at the show with all of the modern things that are going on. But talk a little bit about the car itself outside of the visuals, and we'll have pictures up at WGNradio.com. But also, when it came out, it was one of the most like advanced, right, on the tech side cars that were available at the time. I mean, there was advancements built into that one that no one had seen before.
That's true. And basically, that's why Goodyear Tire got involved in this, because they're celebrating 120 years of business, and their theme for the show was 120 years of innovation. So when we approached them about reproducing the glowing tires, that's right, I said glowing tires, for those of you who don't know, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more. But when we approached them about possibly duplicating the glowing tires, they realized that it was going to fit right into their theme for the show, and we basically agreed to go ahead and duplicate those tires, and under the condition that they were going to be allowed to take it with them to Geneva this year.
Wow. And you get a chance to look at it again. We'll have some pictures up, but it is unforgettable. I mean, so you're making, you know, a car that is unforgettable, that is amazing, that looks great. The tires, though, I don't know, on the tech side, you know, it's an undertaking to do, but just recreating and seeing what it is that they do. Talk a little bit about the tires. And here's the thing. You get a giant company like Goodyear that makes so many millions and millions millions of tires for places around the world, to get them to stop what they are doing and put their focus on something where, as cool as it is, Greg, you need just a handful of tires, right? And for them to stop what they're doing and focus on this, is that's huge.
Yes, it is. And actually, it was a big deal for everyone. Claremont Collections was overjoyed to know that they were going to help them duplicate these tires and that they'll be able to be on display at the museum permanently once it comes back home. And like you said, they only made a handful. They literally made four, and then there's a fifth one that's going to be for a display at their headquarters, I believe, at Goodyear's headquarters in Akron, Ohio. So it was quite a feat. Like I said, most of this all took place starting in October. I got the car at the shop, came in October. Well, I was already working with Goodyear on trying to figure out if they were going to make this happen, but they didn't make the decision to go forward until just 2 days after we received the car at the shop. So it was kind of a good week for us at Speakeasy to first of all receive the Golden Sahara to begin working on it, and then to find out 2 days later that Goodyear, in fact, was going to duplicate the tires. I know it was a huge undertaking for Goodyear. They had a team working on it. There was one man in particular I would love to thank, Keith Buckley of Goodyear Tire. He's the one who made sure everything fell into place and had a very big part in actually having them made. Once they were made, I do believe he threw all four tires into the back of his car and drove straight here from Akron to make sure they were delivered in time to ship with the car. So he was an integral part. Everyone at Claremont Collections worked together to make sure the partnership worked out between them and Goodyear. And it was a huge undertaking for everybody. I can tell you this, like I said, they gave us 3 months to restore the car. It took us a little bit more, like 3.5 months. But those last 3 weeks, my team was working from 7 a.m. till 4:30 in the afternoon. We took a 3-hour break, came back at 7:30 in the evening, and worked till midnight. And we did that for 7 days a week for 3 weeks straight, just to make sure the car was going to be ready.
It's the kind of thing, you know, I mean, and so hats off to you guys and your team for doing it, because, you know, you're on display. You're like there for the world, right? So you had to put, you guys do great work all the time to be able to do great work under these time constraints, knowing, right, that the world would be, you'd be under a microscope, really, is pretty amazing. Yep.
Thank you, Dane. Yeah, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, and hopefully it'll stay one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, because it was super difficult. But we made it, and we're here, and the car is a huge hit.
It is great. It's the kind of thing that you and I talked about when you were first thinking about, hey, the project, doing it, and all those. It's the kind of thing that you say, and I don't know if we knew if it would be 100% true, but that you'll be known for the rest of a Speakeasy's life, the rest of your life professionally is what you do. It'll probably be mentioned in some of those things every time. So it's the kind of thing that it's huge, right? And so here's the thing. So when the smoke clears, the world has seen it now, and you have teased a lot of people into being interested and excited to see it. What's next? I mean, you may not know every move, but where else are you going to bring it? Is it going to do a world tour across the world? Is it going to go across America at shows we know and love? Where are we going to see it?
They're actually, Claremont Collections and Goodyear are working together on a plan for that. I do believe it's going to make one more stop in Europe, but they're still trying to figure out where. And honestly, that we're not even 100% that's going to happen. But I do know they have a couple things planned for America once it comes back. They got a couple places they want to bring it there. Unfortunately, I can't really say where yet, because nothing is set in stone, and I don't want to tease anybody and get anybody's hopes up. But they're definitely working on a schedule, and as soon as that's available, I'm sure they'll be spreading the news worldwide.
Well, you keep us posted here at WGN Radio on the
road,
Dane, and we'll be able to kind of share that stuff. People get out and see it. Of course, at some point, you know, once the tour is over, or at least some of those initial stops, and maybe it'll you know, make the rounds on a yearly basis. But out there at Claremont Collections here in Chicago, I'm guessing it'll be a featured attraction. There is no doubt that'll be happening.
For sure.
For those people out there that want to see, we missed you at World of Wheels, where you've been doing some great things, winning awards. So many great things are happening, and if people want to get involved and have a guy who has done some of the biggest, best, and most high-profile cars now in the world, Greg Alonzo over at Speakeasy, give the information out. Of course, we'll have it up at WGN Radio. Where can people get a hold of you?
Sure, they can reach us at 312-253-7464. They can also check us out on Instagram and Facebook. Both of those pages are updated regularly. And then we also have our website at www.speakeasycustomsclassics.com.
Well, we love what you do, sharing the best of what you do with cars and Chicago, with the world out there in Geneva. Thanks for all the way across and from there jumping on the show today.
No problem, Dane. It was a pleasure.
Hi, Hi, this is Michael Simon, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN. You need cooling,
baby, I'm not fooling. 720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, nearing the end of the program, and a guy who we know, we love. He is the keeper of the flame over there at AmazingRibs.com, and he is not only talking the talk, as he does so many times, with great products in the barbecue and grilling world, but he is walking the walk, calling in live from Texas. Max Good, welcome to the show.
Hey, always a pleasure, Dane.
All right, so here you are.
I'm the one that's on the road today, huh?
Yeah, you're doing it. You are doing it. You're deep in the heart of Texas. The stars at night. I'm going to do the clap. So I know we're going to have an extended breakdown of all the action at one of the biggest trade shows when it comes to new and exciting products in the barbecue world. But talk a little bit about being at Texas and maybe a couple cool things you saw.
Wow. Well, it is one of the more exciting ones I've seen. You know, I go every year, and when I first walked in, here's this really high-end company from Beirut, Lebanon. These really amazing handmade, hand-hammered stainless steel, made out of gold-plated, copper-plated, incredible grills with motorized parts. They had one that had a rotisserie in it, and not only did the rotisserie spin, but you could move it up and down with the electronic motors, and it had this beautiful gold-plated hood over it that could also be moved up and down. And then you got little things on the other end of the spectrum. Like, you know, when you get a fire starter and you put it in a, you try to start up a coal, you have a coal, charcoal grill, I think.
I absolutely do. You have like a chimney starter. I've got one of those.
Well, then if you've never used a fire starter, they're like, they're a different kind of things, but they're a little chunk of something, and you have to put it in a pile of coal and then light it, and then you put a few other pieces of charcoal briquettes on top of it, or your lump or whatever. And one of the things you got to be careful about is if you put too much on it, chokes the fire up because there's no airflow. This thing's like a little cage that pops open, and it's, you know, inexpensive, but I guess I'm just illustrating, you know, from small to large, you know.
Well,
a lot of cool stuff this year, Dane. I'm not kidding you.
Well, we're going to have that a breakdown, an entire episode. We'll highly have you in studio and talk at length with some of those things. But one of the cool things that I know that you're seeing, and that you're going to have some stuff up at AmazingRibs.com, some of your observations and maybe some reviews of some of the things that you've seen, is what it sounds like is that you've got not only great things that happen right in America, but the world is kind of getting more and more into barbecue as well. So excited to hear that. Max, before we let you go, give kind of the social media, give like the website for Amazing Ribs, and kind of when people can, I guess, expect to see some of your impressions from this weekend going up online.
Well, give me a little time, because we're also releasing our Pitmaster Awards for 2019. That's going to be kind of first on my list when I get back on Monday. But I promise you, I will get up as quick as possible. We did something kind of, let's see if it's fun, that I haven't done at any of the previous shows. I just grabbed my little camcorder and I ran all over the place, and I'm going to try to edit something down to maybe 5 minutes, just to give you an idea of what it's like to be at the HBB Expo. Anybody who likes to barbecue, I think, might get a kick out of it, or at least that's my goal, to create something of that nature. And that'll be up on our Facebook site, and I'm sure our social media people will get it as everywhere they possibly can.
All right, AmazingRibs.com, the one only Max Good. Will have more information and all that content, plus those awards as well. So, Max, thanks for jumping on for a minute live from Texas.
Oh, boy, I'm excited to talk to you about everything I saw when we follow up on this thing soon, Dave.
All right, travel safe, and we'll see you soon. That is Max Good, live from Texas. Quick break, we'll come back. We're going to send it to news before the beat. Keep it here, 720 WGN.